General Electric and NBC, $48 billion. Chancellor Media and Clear Channel Incorporated, $24 billion. CBS and Viacom, $80 billion. WBAI and its listeners, priceless. So please, honor your pledge and send it soon to Post Office Box 11445, Church Street Station, New York 10277. Because some things are just too precious to lose, like non-commercial WBAI. For everything else, there's the corporate media.
This is not the corporate media. This is WBAI New York, and now it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone is ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. So Billy Bones was the best expect for worse. I hope that's understood from Billy Bones.
Very good evening to everybody. This is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Isaac over there on the other side of the room.
How are you doing, sir?
We're going to try and reach Bernie S., who is currently, he might be getting into a lot of trouble, actually.
Oh, what now?
He's infiltrating the Secret Service, apparently.
Again?
Yes. Hang on, let's get a dial tone. Dial tone, please. Okay. We're going to try and get a hold of him live, see if he got in any trouble. And hopefully he didn't. Hopefully he'll be able to report back to us. Okay, did that go through? Okay, secret code time. Enter the 19-digit secret code.
For those listeners who can't see what a manual is.
Okay, here we go. My phone is ringing. And let's see what... we're going to wait us on the other end.
Hello?
Bernie S., it's Emmanuel here.
Hey.
You're live on the air. We understand you're infiltrating the Secret Service.
Well, I'm attempting to... entered the Rittenhouse Hotel, where there's a Secret Service security briefing covering the Republican convention happening here in Philadelphia later this year. And I'm just going in now.
Who tells you these things? Who's your plant in there?
I know somebody who works at a place where a part-time law enforcement officer works, and this person heard about this, or overheard him talking about it. That's about all I can say.
Okay. Well, now, what's the situation right now down there?
Well, I'm about ready to enter the building. Should I do this?
Do this live on the air? Sure, go right ahead. Well, I'm sure they already know about it. I mean, last time they you know tried to figure out our frequency, we told them what it was. And
I'm entering the Rittenhouse Hotel.
I'm told they take notes, you know. So. Bernie S. live on the air.
That's
entering the hotel.
You can actually hear me getting arrested on the air. But...
Well, we've heard many things that come close to that, so I guess this would be sort of a first for us.
Hold on a minute.
You are 4 o'clock this week. You're in Keeper's Association, right?
4-4, thank you. Okay, fourth floor, I'm told.
All right, so you're in the facility now, and you're heading to the fourth floor.
I just spoke with the concierge. I happen to have my
It's not very impressive security barrier, concierge.
I think we're going to lose him in the elevator.
I think Sprint PCS is going to do more to prevent us from hearing this than any Secret Service agent.
I have my my National Security Agency polo shirt on. I don't know if he thought, oh, this is a security guy.
Oh, boy. Did,
why don't you folks get on to other things?
Well,
and all the...
you brought up the National Security Agency. I was wondering if you happened to, or if Isaac happened to see the piece on 60 Minutes last Sunday on Echelon.
Oh, yes.
You
Echelon.
Saw that, huh?
Yes.
Real piece of garbage, wasn't it?
What?
You thought that was a good piece?
No, but the people they interviewed were certainly
yeah, okay. Let me, let's go over this. You have this guy there that says, and I quote, there's a case of a woman whose son appeared in a elementary school play, and
well,
she said that he bombed, and then that person was therefore labeled a terrorist because they were overhearing her phone conversation.
You have to keep in mind that he was
and
Canadian.
And that is... Now, why must you always get nationalistic about these things? And that is not an urban legend. And the reporter is like, that's not an urban legend? No, that is not an urban legend.
All right, that was pretty bad.
So no name.
So this guy was an employee of the Canadian equipment? Or
yeah, the CSE.
Yeah.
Well, whatever is
the
an employee of,
if he wants
to, like, you know, tell people things that aren't urban legends, it would help to give some facts besides just a story. All he gave was a story about this woman in an elementary school, and that's it. There was no documentation.
You may lose me. I'm going into an elevator.
All right. If we lose you, I guess we'll have to call you back. Bernie?
Still here?
Okay, we're still picking up every other syllable. We'll call you back. Put your phone in vibrate mode. Don't want people swarming around you when they hear your funny ring. Okay, well, that's the end of him. Fourth floor, he said, right? So
the fourth floor.
It's not going to take him very long to get up there, so I'm going to call immediately and hopefully get him back right away.
Or we could just leave him a voicemail.
Yeah, and then he'll get notified about it tomorrow sometime.
Right, exactly.
Secret code time. That sounds like voicemail we're going to be.
Hello?
Looking. Ah, there we are. Okay. Have they seen you yet?
No.
Very good.
Thank you. It looks like I'm entering now.
Is that the voice of a Secret Service person?
Oh, there's some people in suits here. Hold on a moment, please.
They have sunglasses on. That's how you tell.
Can't necessarily tell. They look very official looking.
Look at their ears. Do they have those little things in their ears? You know, the implants.
The implants?
Yeah.
No, they're not wearing. They're not wearing the radios. All right. I'm going to step into the lion's den here.
Why don't you speak one of their code names? You must know them all.
Just a few of them.
What's the president's code name these days?
You know, I can't recall. I should know this.
Not the obscene one, the one that ones you can say. They have an obscene one. You know that, don't you?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Can you say it on the air?
Yeah, that's not an urban legend.
Oh, they're milling about. This thing was supposed to have happened at 7:30, and I just got here. They're milling about, and there's people here, some of them wearing law enforcement insignia.
Bernie, let's just listen to the mill for a few seconds, all right?
You should see the spread of food they have here.
Well, there's nothing we can do about that, but why don't you just hang out with the people who are milling and let's hear what that sounds like for a second.
I'm actually here to meet someone. Apparently, they're not here right now. His name is Emmanuel Goldstein. Sorry, thank you. I told him I was here to meet you.
And so you have.
And he said, you're not here in this group. Now, these people are always, clearly law enforcement. What's interesting is they're meeting under the auspices of the Innkeepers Association.
What the?
Oh, that was the cover name for this.
Uh huh. Also,
it's
just
the sign outside the door says for the Innkeepers Association meeting.
Right.
However, everybody in there was not an innkeeper. These were people in expensive suits and
trying to keep people
law enforcement people wearing insignia. So this gentleman keeps ushering me out, and he keeps giving me the eye and like pointing me out the door.
Oh, really?
I think I'm not welcome here.
So you've already been spotted, huh?
Well, maybe I gave myself up when I said I was here to meet Emmanuel Goldstein.
Well, yeah. Is he approaching you any more? Or are you out the door now?
He basically gave me the bum's rush.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry this didn't turn out to be a very exciting radio event.
Well, we heard some milling about. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Some official milling.
Yeah. Would you like to stay for the rest of the show, Bernie?
Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly.
Well, I'm not sure.
I'm going to step into the elevator, and I may get cut off again as I head downstairs.
Okay.
To avoid getting shot.
Find a nice little chair in the lobby.
Yeah. Well, find a chair in the lobby. Maybe you can catch them as they stumble out in a drunken stupor later.
There were bottles of wine and alcoholic beverages.
There always are.
For law enforcement?
Yes.
I guess so. This is an official function.
Oh, I can tell you stories, but no need. All right, we have some interesting news, and Bernie, you already know this. On Thursday, Kevin Mitnick was going to be appearing in front of Congress. That's right, in front of the Senate.
Was to be?
He will be. He will be appearing.
Excellent.
10 a.m. on Thursday in front of the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee, and they're going to be talking about the security of the federal government's information systems. The whole thing is sponsored by Senator Fred Thompson, a Republican from Tennessee, which I guess is probably about the worst thing you could imagine. But
Whoa, back up.
What?
Are
we going to get into this stupid debate again about how Republicans are good?
He's sponsoring this, isn't he?
Well, he's sponsoring this, yeah, but, you know.
He asked Mitnick to be there, didn't he?
Remember the guy who sponsored the one I went to? Remember what happened to me when I went down there?
No.
I walked into, like, a landmine. It was a trap. It was horrible. Who knows what he's going to be walking into, but it's open to the public, and people can come on down there. It's being held. I'm not sure how D.C. works, but it's the place is called the Dirksen Senate Office Building. It's in room D342. Thursday at 10 a.m. I don't know what Bernie's walked into this time, but.
I'm out in front of the Rittenhouse Hotel now, where other law enforcement people are milling about.
Uh-huh.
In fact, apparently I missed the event. I had to work until about 7 o'clock and couldn't get here until now, but I see several official-looking vehicles leaving the hotel garage. They're unmarked, but they have lots of antennas on them.
You have a scanner with you by any chance?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
I have it on.
Well, there you go then.
And I happen to have programmed it for various Secret Service frequencies. But it doesn't have the necessary digital decryption unit built into it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm afraid to pull it out here with these cops standing around now. I just keep it in my bag.
Good idea.
All right, let us know if anything happens. We're going to move on now. Now there was a hearing today also in the Senate, this one sponsored by Senator Strom Thurmond, Republican from South Carolina, which I guess is the second worst thing, a Republican from Tennessee. What? Why do I have to go over this old ground over and over again?
When you try to make jokes about Strom Thurmond, you're supposed to make old jokes.
Second, well, that's disrespectful. The guy's 98 years old, but I'm not going to pick on him because of that.
That's the typical, humor thing. You go after Trump.
No, I go after policy. I go after, thick-headedness, things like that. Age?
Okay.
Come on.
Well, you seem to be insulting Tennessee and South Carolina pretty readily.
I'm insulting Republican senators from Tennessee and South Carolina in particular, yeah.
Well, why Tennessee and South Carolina?
Well, because Tennessee is
you
the
think
one
like
state.
Hick-filled?
Well, Tennessee is the one state that has managed. Are you interested in hearing this or not? They've managed to, for instance, lock up somebody in California for running an adult bulletin board system. They managed to bring them into Tennessee and say, well, you violated our community standards even though you're in California because we called you up and you told us something that we didn't want to hear. Or some bizarreness like that. It's all documented on this particular radio show.
South Carolina happens to be a fairly strong magnet.
South Carolina, the state that flies the Confederate flag. Okay, game, set, match. It's all over. Come on. Let's not even get into this.
Why don't we continue?
Are we going to get into what's wrong with the Confederate flag? We're going
to
go the whole nine yards now?
No,
what's wrong with slavery? What's wrong with anything? Oh, this is just insane. We only have an hour.
Exactly.
We only have an hour.
Let's continue on with this whole, little
Bernie, what in the world are you doing?
What in the world
sounds like
am
you're
I doing?
Falling down a mountain or something. What's going on there?
You can thank Sprint PCS. Boy, these guys are giving me the eyeball. I'll tell you.
Well, walk up and introduce yourself. Don't be shy.
don't worry about us. Like, just put the phone on your shoulder.
You walk right up to them and introduce yourself.
I think I'm just going to
walk away from this.
Nothing to be ashamed of. If ever, if you're on a public street, for God's sake. All right. Bernie S. in Philadelphia. About to get the stuffing beaten out of him.
Well, I'm sure this won't be the last of their meetings.
No, they're going to have a meeting about you now. In like about 10 minutes.
Where are my Emmanuel Goldstein Gestapo?
Yeah, thanks for bringing my name into this. I really appreciate it. Like, I'm not on enough lists. I have to be on yet another one.
I think you're already on that one, actually.
Well, yeah, but now I'm, like, up on the top of that list
again.
You
got another star next to you.
So, now, who did we have testifying in D.C. today? We had Mudge was down there again.
Mudge was down there.
And you have a list of some other people.
Well, you gave me the docs here. So.
Yes, so you have the docs. I can't read
it. Mudge was down there. Did Mudge say he could crash the Internet in 30 minutes?
I hope he didn't say that again.
No. Well, my general impression of what he said was that he wasn't quite on topic. He kind of jumped around a bit, which...
I think he said he could take any man in the House, though.
No.
Didn't he say that? there was some bravado there someplace.
In my skimming, I didn't pick up on that.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Dan Rosenweg, the president and CEO of ZDNet.
Okay.
Who offered...
you want to give us a brief... Hand me the Justice Department guy.
I will hand you the Justice Department.
I want a piece of him. You tell me what this other guy said from ZD.
ZD gave basically a brief overview of the attacks. Mm-hmm. Against ZD, the distributed denial of service attack.
Right.
They kind of suffered along with a bunch of other people,
mm-hmm.
which was a little thin flood thing. And personally, I think they're all a little hypersensitive.
Well, this one, Bernie,
I'm here.
Are you okay? Well, these horrible sounds we keep hearing occasionally—it just doesn't make sense.
It's really strange. The vocoders that. PCS uses are tuned to reproduce human voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, if you try to feed any other, non-human voice type sounds that don't follow, a typical human voice waveform,
uh-huh.
it ends up sounding really strange. Like, any kind of mechanical noises or whatever, they just don't translate. And sounds very strange.
You'd be better off with a Peter Frampton guitar, I think.
Probably.
Yeah. All right, well, now I'm looking at the testimony of Eric Holder, Deputy Attorney General, Department of Justice. And, the one thing you got to look at as being a danger sign is when people launch into the whole tirade about cybercrime and hackers and things like that. And this guy, unfortunately, he's in the position where he can actually, institute policy and things like that. And he launches right into that.
No, he can't. Congress institutes policy.
Well, yeah, but the odds of me instituting, legislation of some sort are significantly less than the Deputy Attorney General of the Department of Justice.
Have you called your congressman?
Have I called my congressman? I've called my congressman every name in the book and several times at home. And it doesn't make any difference. In fact, I think it makes things worse.
Oh, I see.
Computer crime investigators and a number of FBI field offices and investigators from other agencies are investigating these attacks. He said investigating three times in that one sentence. They're coordinating information with the National Infrastructure Protection Center, NIPC, of the FBI. The agents are also working closely with our network of specially trained computer crime prosecutors who are available 24 hours a day / 7 days a week to provide legal advice and obtain whatever court orders are necessary. Attorneys from the Criminal Division's Computer Crime and Intellectual Property Section, CCIPS, are coordinating with the assistant United States attorneys in the field. We are also obtaining information from victim companies and security experts who, like many in the Internet community, condemn these recent attacks. And we are also working closely with our counterparts in other nations. I am proud of the efforts being made in this case, including the assistance we are receiving from a number of federal agencies. And it goes on and on for pages and pages about the, the whole prosecution, but it doesn't really go into any details as to how to keep it from happening. Because I don't think they're interested in that.
No.
They're not interested in that, and I don't think that they
can. And they'd have nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something that can be legislated away, and it can't be, bureaucratized to death. It's a matter of personal responsibility for just about everyone who has a site up. You have to secure it. There's no question about that. Nobody's going to do it for you. You're mm-hmm. going to have to, I'm sorry, folks, but you're going to have to invest the time and the money to deal with these security issues, and if you don't, you're going to lose badly. I don't see why people can't, focus on common sense and the obvious. If you don't do it, someone's going to take advantage of it. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah, but the person that takes advantage of it is not going to be a hacker. A hacker can figure it out. A hacker can tell you how it's done. But for somebody to do something as stupid as this denial of service thing...
It was dumb.
I mean, that's not hacking.
Did
that's,
I say a hacker was going to take advantage
of it? Well, this guy sure did. Listen to what he says. Mm-hmm. When a hacker disrupts air traffic control at a local airport, we do that all the time.
All right, when looking for an instance of that.
Remember LAX, Isaac?
Was that a specific incident he was referring to?
What's that?
Was that a specific documented incident he was
referring to? No, it happens so often, apparently, that he just says, when a hacker does this,
happens?
When a hacker disrupts air traffic control at a local airport, when a child pornographer sends computer files, when a cyber stalker sends a threatening email to a public school or a local church, or when credit card numbers are stolen from a company engaged in e-commerce, investigators must locate the source of the communication. Everything on the Internet is communications, from an email to an electronic heist.
Whoa! Major revelation there.
Oh, I wish I could have seen this. Finding an electronic criminal,
Not a real criminal.
An electronic criminal. It means that law enforcement must determine who is responsible for sending an electronic threat or initiating an electronic robbery.
Do we imprison him in like a capacitor or something?
That would be the ideal solution, wouldn't it? To accomplish this, law enforcement must, in nearly every case, trace the electronic trail leading from the victim back to the perpetrator. Tracking a criminal online is not necessarily an impossible task, as demonstrated last year when federal and state law enforcement agencies were able to track down the creator of the Melissa virus and the individual who created a false Bloomberg News Service website in order to drive up the stock price of Pear Game, a telecommunications company in California, created a false website.
It wasn't a real website.
Wow. In both cases, technology enabled us to find the individuals who were engaged in criminal activity. I have something to say about the Melissa person. Now, is this a yes or no? Did the Melissa virus writer, David Smith, did he actually send the virus to anybody? Did he simply write it and post it on a Usenet news group? Yes or no?
Asking the wrong person.
Actually, that's not a yes or no question. That's an either or question. From what I've read, from everything I've seen, they're not saying that he mailed it, that he just wrote it. So now he's facing 10 years for writing something?
I think there's no question as to whether he actually wrote it.
As there should be.
Well, he pled guilty to writing it, so I think
And I think there's some question as to, is this actually a virus, even?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I will, like, fight to the last day saying that it's not a virus, but...
No, I don't believe it's a virus either.
Unfortunately, despite our successes in the Melissa and Pear Game cases, we still face significant challenges as online criminals become more sophisticated, often wearing the equivalent of Internet electronic gloves to hide their fingerprints and their identity.
Well, I have a problem.
My Nintendo Power Gloves? Is that what it's like?
I have a problem with the more sophisticated thing. I don't see particularly interesting and more sophisticated attacks. The tools may be getting a little more sophisticated.
I think they may be getting a little dumber, too, so that sort of makes it more sophisticated. Let me finish up here. It doesn't take a master hacker to disappear on a network. Ironically, while the public is justifiably worried about protecting the legitimate electronic privacy of individuals who use networks, a criminal using tools and other information easily available over the Internet can operate in almost perfect anonymity. By weaving his or her communications through a series of anonymous remailers, by creating a new forged email, this is literally how I said it, by creating a few forged email headers, with powerful point-and-click tools readily downloadable from many hacker websites, or by using a free trial account or two, a hacker, online pornographer, or web-based fraud artist can often effectively hide the trail of his or her communications. You see where this is going?
This is not anything new. This is the focus on a few, sensational cases, and then try to pass legislation that will take care of those sensational cases.
Except for the fact that the sensational cases are in the front page of every newspaper now.
Sure so they are.
What's new
Again,
is the fact
this
that
this nothing new.
No, what's new is the attention it's getting.
Right.
And the sense of urgency.
Of course.
So that's
Look at
new.
The guns before. Look at tobacco even before that.
This has got nothing to do with guns and tobacco. This
sure
is
it
about
does.
This is about
it's the same technique.
This is I don't What in the world are you doing, Bernie? I'm going to turn you down.
There was actually somebody starting their car on the street.
All right, well...
It sounded like anything but that, I'm sure.
All right.
It's a typical Clinton technique. The idea is he mentions something beforehand. He says that, this could be a potential problem. After that, suddenly, problem occurs. He seems to be this wonderful sage of all ages who predicted the problem occurring. Now you whip up public, support for passing some kind of legislation that will correct the quote-unquote problem that he was so wonderfully adept in predicting beforehand, at which point legislation is passed, solution, quote-unquote, is gotten to, and whammo, we now have a whole new set of ways to deny you of your rights.
Well, I agree, except I don't agree that you can just pin it on Clinton. It's the system. That's how the system works.
It's the
Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, it doesn't matter. That is how our system
is
designed.
That's how the system works. But the Clinton thing is that he predicts it beforehand so as to, you know, that's his little own bait and switch thing.
Yeah, but you see, Clinton is not really running the show here, is he? I mean, he's one person. He's you know, the guy with the name on top of the letterhead, but that's it.
I understand.
So, I mean,
I'm sorry, I selected his particular, you know,
you think these problems are going to go away?
I don't think they're going to go away. They're not going to go away.
Whatever comes in next.
How to make it go away is to have the websites assume responsibility for their websites. These people just can't throw up something and, you know, expect everybody to play by the rules.
Tell the government to get lost. Leave us alone. Let us deal with the Internet on our own.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that.
I don't think it should be limited to the Internet. But we'll save that for another show.
Yeah. This is interesting. This is a piece of paper that we got actually here at the station. It wasn't meant for us. It was meant for another show. Worst hacker attacks yet to come, says Defense Department consultant Dr. Aaron Friedman.
Sure.
Now, this is basically a pitch that he sent us to be interviewed. Not us. Another show.
Somebody else.
Yeah, I don't think he'd want to be on this show. E-commerce sites should prepare their networks as if they're going to war, and this means creating virtual private networks for their users, says Dr. Aaron Friedman, network security consultant for the U.S. Department of Defense and chairman of Fortress Technologies, Inc. What do you want to bet?
You know what? He was on the Art Bell show.
Oh, boy.
I was making fun of him on the Art Bell show.
What do you want to bet this guy's got something to sell?
Oh, he definitely has something to sell.
You see what I mean? You see the...
I can tell you about his product. No.
You can just see through these people as if they're made out of glass. You know, it's that simple. They come up with these crazy, prepare for war, worst hacker attacks yet to come. You know, are they speaking on their own, or are they speaking because they have some kind of agenda and, a profit to make?
Is that in the text, or are you just saying?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's so obvious. If you just think about this a little bit, it's like really clear. Dr. Friedman, a former senior scientist at Brookhaven National Laboratories, says that the recent wave of denial-of-service attacks is just the precursor to truly damaging cyber attacks, which are certain to be waged against U.S. business. These recent attacks were just distractions. They were not intrusive, says Dr. Friedman. Intrusive attacks on unprotected sites will have alarming and lasting consequences to both the U.S. economy and the U.S. psyche. You can be certain that foreign entities with hostile intentions have taken note of how vulnerable U.S. commerce is to cyber attack. Remember, it's not just U.S. e-commerce that is vulnerable to cyber disruption. Every Fortune 500 company with a computer network is a potential target. You know, I love how the Fortune 500 companies are the only ones that matter, you know?
Well,
I was off the net for a full week, and nobody cared, you know, because of that stupid DSL incident.
Well, I'm glad to see that he's not touting his product's NSA certification anymore. Or is that in there?
Well, I haven't finished reading. Let me continue and see what some of the other horrors await us here. Dr. Friedman says the best proven defense against all types of cyber attack is a virtual private network, VPN, as they are known in the network security field. And I'll bet bottom dollar this guy's going to try to sell this. A VPN is created when encryption hardware, generally a box about the size of a CD player, is placed in front of the corporate server. Each network user installs software that allows him to access the network server through the box. The virtual private network is the safest against every form of attack, from high school hackers to state-sponsored cyber terrorists, says Dr. Friedman.
Should I start to nitpick what he's talking
about? No, we don't have time for that.
Okay.
A company utilizing a VPN cannot become victim of a denial-of-service attack because the IP address of every incoming request is validated. Requests with unauthorized IP requests are discarded. If an attack comes from any validated address, the address can be immediately blocked. Well, he said literally.
Okay.
A VPN makes every computer and all the traffic on the network invisible to hackers. A virtual private network can be established for 2 users or 2 million users. And according to Dr. Friedman, the Fortress VPN modules don't reduce network speed or reliability. Fortress, wait a minute, is that the name of
his product?
His company. This guy's selling the damn
thing. That's his product.
The Fortress VPN system has undergone grueling testing by the National Security Agency, and it's the only VPN system in the world to have earned the NSA's Security Proof of Concept Keystone SPOC certification. They even give us questions to ask him.
Really?
You want to be the guy?
Should I ask the question?
No, I'm going to ask the questions. You can give me a stupid answer.
No, I'm not going to give you
stupid. How does a hacker choose his target? Sorry, I said it wrong. How does a hacker choose his target? That's how he wrote it out, yeah.
Okay. Darkboard.
All right. How do I know, Bernie, you can take this one. How do I know if someone from the Internet has been searching my hard drive?
If someone in the Internet has been searching my hard drive. You want a stupid answer?
Well, yeah. Actually, I'll give you the answer that they were passing around.
Which is just as stupid.
Go ahead, Bernie.
I said I probably can't come up with as stupid an answer as they gave. I'm trying to think of stupid answers, and
According to the media, they say if your hard drive light flashes a lot, you should report that. Because that basic
Windows 98.
Right.
Yeah. Because that could mean that somebody is accessing your hard drive that shouldn't be. So report that if your hard drive light goes on. What damage can a hacker potentially cause to a business?
Oh, billions of dollars.
Billions.
More damage than your business could ever potentially do in 1 year's worth of operation.
That's right.
Should you report that blinking hard drive light to?
Probably one of the guys that you just passed by in Philadelphia there.
Okay.
Run back and say your hard drive light is flashing. See what they do.
They'll arrest me for flashing.
Yeah. What is a firewall and can hackers defeat them? Isaac, this one's for you.
A firewall is a brick wall that has been doused in diesel fuel. And
all right, that's enough of that. No.
And it can be defeated by hackers with a fire hose.
What is a virtual private network and why do hackers hate them?
It makes everything invisible.
Yeah.
It's like the Romulan cloaking device.
You flip a switch and it just goes, woo!
Yeah, exactly.
Final question for Dr. Aaron Friedman. Fortress Technologies sets up, this is like a commercial here. Fortress Technologies sets up hacker-proof networks for U.S. intelligence agencies and large corporations.
Now that scares me.
Can Fortress set up secure networks for small businesses too?
Why, yes! We can.
Oh, boy.
You're going to put that back in the box it's supposed to go in, right?
Yeah. Laszlo, how you doing? You're back this week. You've seen things like this. You work in commercial radio.
We get these all the time. We get all these all the time with the loaded questions.
So people send you their little blurbs.
Oh, yeah.
They send you the questions to ask them.
And you say, you mean for only $19.99 I can get a firewall?
I'm
not just that. For three easy payments of $9.99, I'll throw in the, Super-O-Matic toaster and pasta maker.
But wait, don't dial yet, because this is a complete sham and a fraud.
If you get attacked by a hacker, we'll send you your money back.
All right. Yeah, let's
you can use those, $1,000.
I didn't know the NSA actually gave certification. Do they just, put a stamp?
No, they do. Never mind.
It's like Y2K readiness and things like that. Speaking of Y2K.
Well, FOC is a real initiative.
Speaking of Y2K, today is a special day.
Today is, yes.
February 29th, 2000. Now, did you have some kind of problem?
Yes. No, I didn't personally have
a
problem.
My hard drive was blinking.
You better run outside and call somebody.
I didn't personally have a problem, but I got a report from somebody that they had a Casio watch, which has a year-based calendar.
Really talked to a person, or is this just some urban legend?
They left me a voicemail.
Really? Okay.
Yes. How this person got my number, I don't know. They never leave their number. They had a Casio watch, which actually takes into account the year, so they say. And in 1996, when they had purchased this, there was no problem with the leap year. It went, 28, 29, March 1.
This is a watch?
This is a watch.
They've had a watch for that long.
Strangely. Well, I've had this one for like 5 years.
Never had a watch longer than a month, maybe.
Is it one of the ones with a calculator on it?
Probably.
Gee, what a surprise.
But, this year, in the year 2000, it didn't do February 29th. That watch said today was the 1st of March.
Wow.
Think of the havoc that could
have been. Well, I can imagine all the craziness that's causing worldwide right now. But the reason for that is because generally years that are end in 00 are not leap years, even though they're every 4 years.
Yeah, well,
1996 was a leap year. 2004 will be a leap year as well. But 2000... wouldn't have been a leap year if it wasn't 2000. If it was 1900, it would not be a leap year.
Correct.
But since it's 2000, it is. Don't ask me why.
It's
I think the whole system
years,
is stupid.
It's every 4 years and every 400 years.
It's divisible by 400, that's why.
Right.
All right. I don't know who figured the whole thing out, but...
Jesus.
Yeah. That's right. That's when he figured the whole thing out and told
us
what
to do. He was the first hacker.
Look what that got him.
Hacking time.
212-209. Sorry, Bernie. Let's try to get the phone number. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. We'll be taking phone calls in just a moment. Bernie, yes.
What other problems happened on this leak day?
I don't think any. I mean, I heard there were some problems in Japan with some
ATMs.
ATMs, was it?
Supposedly 1,200 ATMs, the ones at the post offices shut down. And the Indonesia Stock Exchange was closed as a precaution, but no, apparently nothing happened. Let's see, Japan's Meteorological Agency weather monitoring stations reported double-digit rainfall, even though no rain fell.
Interesting.
Big problem.
These problems do exist.
Yeah, these problems do exist, but, you know, these problems are really easy to fix, and we can move on with our lives.
They're easy to fix?
Well, yeah, I imagine that, you know, your friend's watch is fixed by now.
Well, set.
You reset the time, that's it.
Well, tomorrow we'll have to set it back a day.
All right, but the thing is, it doesn't take genius mentality to fix these kind of things. Y2K was a bit more complex than simply going one day in advance.
Yes.
All right. And this right now seems to be more of a problem than Y2K if it was.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, I have yet to see any sustained damage from Y2K. People are waiting to come out of their shelters to report it, but have not yet seen anything. Okay, my particular problem this past week, of course, was the nightmare I had with DSL. And again, it was finally resolved the next day. In fact, on Wednesday, the Bell Atlantic guy finally came out after a week of trying to get them to come out, and they found the problem. Yeah, there was a wire that just simply snapped. And I don't know why that would cause the system to go down or the connection to go down in the daytime and come back up at night. Probably has something to do with crosstalk, and just made the connection a lot worse. But it's up now. It's been up for a week, and things seem to be okay. But Bernie, you sent me a story from the Philadelphia Inquirer, which was very similar. I'm going to read part of this. Digital subscriber line technology, one of the most vaunted solutions to the worldwide wait, can be a dream come true for consumers craving faster ways to surf the Internet. Intricate web pages pop up on home computer screens in seconds rather than minutes, and DSL offers a sturdy Internet connection that is on 24 hours every day. No dial-up is required. Bell Atlantic, whose DSL service is also being resold by Internet service providers, has said that it has been deluged with requests for hookups in the Philadelphia area. The company says it is receiving hundreds of calls and emails daily from people who want DSL. But for all the interest and potential benefits, DSL is not problem-free. The technology, introduced about 2 years ago around the country, has a lot of bugs, and the regional Bell companies, currently the primary providers of the service, have had trouble deploying DSL as an alternative to rival high-speed cable modems. Some customers who have signed up for Bell Atlantic's DSL service, which cost a minimum of $49 per month, have complained of service outages, even terminations. And when they call Bell Atlantic for help, some said their calls have gone unanswered, or their problems with the service have gone unexplained. Jacob Lubwinski, a Philadelphia resident who recently signed up for Bell Atlantic's DSL service, said it worked for a glorious 3 days, from February 16th through February 19th. The few days it did work, it was just outstanding. The web pages just showed up instantly. But Lubwinski was still without DSL service yesterday. This was a week ago, despite numerous conversations with Bell Atlantic technicians and managers to help him regain service. I'm frustrated because I'm not getting an explanation, he said. They do offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. If this isn't resolved soon, I'll try that and go back to my slowpoke speed.
I'm waiting for the first lawsuits for Internet withdrawal.
Well, it's pretty sad.
11 o'clock news, you're going to see people all grayed out, jittery, like, I'm online.
Well, the thing is, we laugh, but that's pretty much what it was like. I mean, the thing would go down, right?
That frightens me.
You like to think that you're not completely dependent on technology, but, you know, you sort of get used to sending people email and talking on IRC and browsing the web. When the thing goes down, you know, you kind of like, at it nervously.
You kind of look at it nervously and you kind of say,
all right, it's going to come right back up. And it doesn't come right back up. So you pace around a little bit more and you get more and more anxious and nervous. And, you know, a full maybe 20 minutes has passed by and you're tearing your hair out, you know, because you can't get on the net. And you just want to get on the net and you want to, you know, call whoever it is necessary to get you back on the net. And you can't be off another 5 minutes. And your heartbeat starts increasing, and you start getting really anxious and nervous and upset. And then it comes back up, and you just calm down. It's like you've been injected with some kind of drug, you know, and you're okay until it goes down again, and then you freak out. And that's how I was for the past week, and I realized...
That's remarkably sad.
It is remarkably sad. What has become of us that we're so dependent on the net?
I have very little problem with
that. Well, it's horrible. It really is.
I suggest you read a book. You actually live in a very nice area. Why don't you, like, enjoy it?
Well, the problem is that, you know, we run a server, and there are other people that are constantly trying to get a hold of us when we go down, and, you know, they get angry. So
that's another issue with you.
I have to take away all the beepers, all the phones, get away from anybody who might know me,
yeah.
and just go far away and not care
that people are
being inconvenienced.
Do it for about a week. Do it for about 2 weeks. It's one of the best things you'll ever do.
I don't know.
I recommend that to everyone.
Well, if I don't come back, it probably would be one of the best things I ever do. But if I do come back, I'll have to deal with a lot of people who are kind of angry that I did that in the first place.
So tell them off. Say, go out to the desert for a couple weeks.
That's the solution. All right. Sorry, take some phone calls.
Can we skip this whole DSL thing, by the way?
What do you mean?
Let's just start running fiber to people's homes.
Well, I'd like that. That would be nice.
I mean, it's inevitable. Let's just do it now, get it out of the way.
I think I'd be nervous too if my online access went down, because in those 5 minutes another corporation might sue you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the potential.
You know, that was something that was going through my head when we were down all day. You know, I could be getting sued right now and I don't even know it, because that's the way you're served these days. You're served via email. So, you know, I don't know what's going on.
With the way you happen to be. I thought they served you by throwing stuff in your window.
Well, they eventually did that, but there's one lawsuit, the California lawsuit, which
isn't a real lawsuit.
Well, it's not really a real lawsuit, but they seem to think it is. They seem to think it is, and they can make things difficult, you know. But they never actually served anything. They just emailed stuff and sent things through their real mail.
I'm getting a strange look from Laszlo.
Yes.
What's the difference between a real lawsuit and not a real one?
Well, the California lawsuit was in the county of Santa Clara. He lives in New York.
Right.
The county of Santa Clara has no jurisdiction over him.
Just like the state of Tennessee has no jurisdiction over somebody in California.
Right. But unfortunately, the guy from California probably responded, showed up in court, thereby volunteering his submission to that particular jurisdiction. They found him guilty and they sent him to prison.
Just like American corporations have no say in what goes on in other countries.
Well, that's another issue.
We'd better move on to some phone
calls.
Yes,
I don't know.
All right. 212-209-2900. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I got a question.
You better make it fast.
All right. I was in town in Manhattan, and I dialed 411, and I got local information to give me the number of a particular store that was in Manhattan.
Not fast enough.
All right. When I went out of state, I went to another state, dialed 212-555-1212.
Uh-huh.
They say they don't have that listing. Why is that?
They don't have what listing?
The particular store that when I dial local 411 here in Manhattan in town, they had the listing of that store, of that particular place. But when I dial it out of state, they don't have it.
Why didn't you just write down the number?
No. This is just an example. I'm just asking, you know, in general.
Well, I don't know. Maybe did you happen to hear what they said when they picked up the phone, what company they are? Maybe they're a different company?
Either AT&T or MCI or
Well, Spring. If they're AT&T or MCI, they might have an outdated CD-ROM or something, whereas if you're connecting to Bell Atlantic directly, they obviously have, you know, the up-to-the-minute listings. That's my theory there. Thanks for that question. It was very enlightening. Good evening.
That was mind-blowing.
Yeah, I for one, am a better person for having this answer.
Oh, it's Bernie.
Good evening.
They're after me.
Yeah, you're on the air here.
You like me.
Hello? Go ahead.
Hi, Bernie? I'm here.
All right, listen. If you ever call two lines during the show once again, you're going to be banned. That's right. I don't ban people lightly. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello?
Okay, yes.
I had a couple of comments. First of all, you were just talking about the February 29th.
Uh-huh.
The reason is the sun goes around the Earth 365.242.
Hold on a second.
I don't really want to quote that. The sun
does not go around the Earth. The Earth goes around the sun. Let's put that back.
I'm sorry.
That's a controversial thing with Isaac, right?
I'm sorry.
You got the number right, though, which is the important part.
Okay.
And that's just why, if you did every 4 years, it was just the counter comes up after a long time, it comes out off.
Uh-huh.
But the reason why I wanted to call is we were just talking about security issues.
Right.
I'm not in that business or anything. And maybe the people who do damage really aren't hackers.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, somebody can do serious damage to somebody's computer.
Of course, yes.
And, you know, especially if it's the home computer, no one's going to bother you. maybe a normal business, but these e-commerce sites, or even a bank or something. You know, I remember a long time ago, I heard about somebody who, like, would take out money at 5 o'clock from the bank and put it back in the bank at 9 o'clock the next morning. It's just, you know, it sounds kind of silly, but you get the interest, you know.
Hmm.
You got to realize, that, you know, maybe you wouldn't do that, but somebody else might.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's criminal behavior. We have names for that already. You know, why call them hackers? You know, you might as well just call them programmers or something like that. You know, it'd be just as absurd.
Maybe that very well might be true, but I guess that's why you have to have security. I mean,
I'm not following.
You have to have security. There are people who will do damage. I mean, I don't want this guy who wants to crash Yahoo, E-Trade. You know, maybe it could have been a disgruntled employee. You never know.
Okay.
Right. Well, that would not be the act of a hacker. You said that'd be the act of a disgruntled employee, somebody who wants to cause damage. You know, they might be able to use something a hacker teaches them, or if they're a hacker themselves, they might be able to use the knowledge that they gain and then turn it into a criminal activity. Fine, but that does not mean that hackers are doing this.
Well, I guess there's no other word for it. Maybe,
of course,
you know,
there's other words for it. There's plenty of words for it.
Criminal sounds good.
There's no end of words. I mean, vandal. Extortionist, you know, there's all kinds of words you can use for their behavior.
And if you want to be really sexy in the media, you put cyber in front of each of those.
If you must.
Yes,
cyber. If you have to do that, go right ahead.
No, I mean, that's obviously not. I mean, people want to. I remember when the War Games movie came out, people were like, I'm going to bomb the world.
Right, yeah.
No, but you have to. Yeah.
See, there's plenty of good things that hackers do, and a lot of awareness that they spread, a lot of things that we can learn, and to just simply. You know, make it all into one big evil thing. That hurts everybody. That hurts the people that aren't doing anything malicious. Hurts people like Kevin. Hurts people like Bernie. You know, when they're called hacker, all of a sudden every evil thing you can possibly imagine is conjured up, and you want these people to go away for years. That's the danger. You see?
Maybe it just takes on your end, the hacker's end, you know, to you know, train everyone to listen. These guys are not, you know, hacker or something else.
Well, let's put it this way, all right? They say that this has been possible for, you know, since the beginning of the Internet, this whole denial of service thing. Hackers obviously can figure out how to do it. Now, why do you think it took so long for this to happen? If hackers knew how to do it and hackers had the ability to do it for all this time, and there have been hackers around for all this time, wouldn't it be being done constantly? But no, it didn't happen until now, probably because some idiot got a hold of something that he shouldn't have gotten a hold of and figured out himself how to use it, ran a script.
He should have gotten a hold of it. He didn't use it in a responsible manner.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference there.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying this is probably somebody who doesn't know how to use it in a responsible manner. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it should be available. It should be something people can access, but this person was not capable of grasping that, apparently.
Correct.
Or people, or whatever. They probably have a lot of copycat things right now.
Again, it comes down to personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, two kinds of personal responsibility. Responsibility of the people who are doing it, and responsibility of the people to prevent it from happening to
Absolutely
them.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's go over there. Good evening. You're on the air.
This is, I think, the sexiest thing for the national security since, like, Halliburton Luggage or something. They love this. They love using hacker language, and I think it has like an implied sexuality to it. You know, like we used to worry about unprotected sex. Now we have to worry about unprotected sites.
Uh-huh.
All the ads say, you know, no protection. Anyway, I have a question about the prison phone systems. The news was talking about this earlier with the MCI monopoly on the phone system. There is a three-way. All the phones in prison are set up for three-way listening, speaking and listening. Bernie, when you had conversations with your attorney, did you have any way of knowing that, or did you have to assume that that was possible, even though that's not legal?
You had to assume that your attorney-client privilege was being violated whenever you were speaking to your attorney on the telephone. In fact, in one of the prisons I was sent to, just a face-to-face conversation I had with my attorney was being conspicuously monitored by a guard who was standing about 6 feet away and was not permitted to close the door to the room. But you, in the federal prison system, in the handbook it says you can request a call with your attorney to not be monitored,
right.
But forget it. I mean, I did that once, and it was a waste of time because basically they said, well, you know, too much trouble to set up this week or whatever, and it just basically made it clear to you that you're being a lot of trouble to them for trying to even ask for something like that.
I would have figured the initial response would be, well, what are you trying to hide?
Yes, of course, right.
Well, that's what they're thinking, obviously. Yeah. But, Bernie, isn't it something that's not legal to do this?
It's absolutely illegal.
It's illegal.
But they just do it anyway.
The feds did that notoriously in the Manuel Noriega case, where he was in prison, and the feds were caught red-handed wiretapping all his prison calls, including those to his attorney. Like, lots and lots of calls to his attorney. They recorded all of them,
mm-hmm.
which is blatantly illegal, but they did it anyway, and they got caught doing it.
That's unbelievable. I used to have respect for the system, respect for the law, respect for, its enforcers. You know, little by little, it's just all being eroded. It's all going away because you see how the system just is abused. It's not used properly. If the authorities want something their way, they'll just lie and cheat to get it their way.
Well, what have you done about it?
Well, I've talked about it and I've tried
to spread awareness about it.
I can't, go down and take out the government,
No, you don't go down and take out the government.
Encourage people to, get together and do things.
To support those people who are interested in changing it.
Well, yeah, except who are those people?
I don't know. You have to find them and vote for them.
They don't seem to be running. That's the problem. The only people that seem to run are variations on a theme.
So why don't you run?
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Why not?
That's, means they're not there. Let's have the drugs wear off.
We'll write you in.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Nobody better write me in.
I called last time about the Radio Shack thing.
Uh-huh.
And I had a similar thing.
Okay, you're getting in more trouble.
Yeah, I went down to Bell Atlantic, and
uh-oh.
They don't like me already. And I was looking through their garbage, and some technicians started yelling at me through the window that they're going to call security if I kept looking through the garbage.
You're looking for a ball, right?
Is that the whole story?
Which side of the fence were you on?
There's actually no fence. It's on 79th Street between 3rd and 2nd. It's completely open. The garbage is just boxes on the street, and it has some neat stuff.
I'm there.
Well, if they're on the
after
street,
the show,
then
let's
fine.
Go. I'm right over there.
And it's actually garbage days are Mondays and Thursdays.
This guy's he knows it all. Okay, no, that's great. So did you get anything interesting?
No, I didn't. Actually, yeah, I did. One time.
Mm-hmm.
It was something, I don't know, it had something to do with DSL testing.
Ooh.
But it had all of these sequences and ones and zeros.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I don't have the paper with me right now.
They were speaking binary.
Yes, it's quite neat. And, but it was real cool. I suggest that you go there. Oh, and another thing. There's a little publication called Internet Week Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the denial of service attacks. And they said new programs turn novices into veritable Kevin Mitnick attackers.
Oh, that's just great. That's just beautiful.
A Kevin Mitnick attacker?
Yeah.
Somebody who tries to assault Kevin Mitnick?
Yeah, I guess that's
Kevin has never done anything like that, ever. And yet they, they attach his name to something like this. He's the first person to condemn this kind of thing.
Exactly. I just didn't get it. I laughed when I saw it. It was like a Kevin Mitnick attacker. I didn't get it.
Interesting.
Are you going to be at the 2600 meeting on Friday?
Oh, try my best.
All right. Say hello.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, wait.
Well,
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you happen to be under 13?
No, I'm actually over 13.
Okay.
I'm 14.
I just, as a young person.
Oh, yeah. We got an interesting story for you.
I wanted some feedback from you. Apparently, back in late 98, Congress passed a law called the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act.
Oh,
so I know you're not a child, but you're a little bit closer to that age than we are. This COPPA, it says that as of April 21st of this year, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, as of April 21st of this year, websites must get a parent's consent before they can collect, use, or disclose any personal information from children under 13. Now, there's all these free email services that provide email accounts to
But isn't that supposed to be anonymous?
Well, no. Apparently now, under federal law, these sites must get parental consent before they can give an account to get any information from someone who's under 13.
Bernie, I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have, say, a Hotmail type of system there where, technically they would have to not give their account out to somebody who is 13 or less.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Well, now, what,
how do they tell?
Yeah, how can they tell? What happens if the person simply just doesn't tell them the truth? How are they supposed to verify this?
Obviously, if the kid has half a brain, he's going to give some age greater than, greater than 12.
Sure, I do it all the time.
But as of April 21st, if you put in any birth date, like if you try to get a Hotmail account, free Hotmail account, if you put in any date of your birth less than 13 years ago, you will see some message saying that we need parental consent, or we'll just say, I'm sorry, we can't provide you an account.
Okay, so a warning to all the 8-year-olds out there not to do that. Or, if you do it, fix
there's
it.
This one, there's this one site called NVCI, mm-hmm. which owns and operates a free email service, snap.com and email.com. They sent an email out to everyone who's fell into that age window, and it said, we're sorry to say that we have some bad news for you. It says, at this time, SNAP does not have any way for your parents to give us their permission. So we have decided that closing your account is the surest way for us to obey the law.
Wow.
I think the only way they can get extreme security and make sure there's no little kids having accounts is like just kick everybody off.
Yeah, that's good for business.
Yeah.
He said, if you'd like to sign up again after you turn 13, we would love that too. End quote.
Yeah, you could turn 13 tomorrow, or you could turn 21 tomorrow, or whatever.
An example of unenforceable and generally poorly thought out legislation.
Yeah. Isaac, I'm going to throw something at you, so be ready, all right? Because last time I didn't
There was a little ambulance thing that had to swing by.
Yeah, well, that's not exactly. It wasn't an ambulance, but there was definitely bandages involved.
Oh, okay.
So. All right, I'm going to throw this over at you now, all right? Ready?
Aye!
Jeez, man!
Dude,
easy. All right. I wiped this across a little bit. Yeah, Forbes magazine. All right.
I was going to vote for Steve.
Turn to page 39. This is the current issue of Forbes.
Current issue of Forbes. I'm not in it, am I?
Page 39. Try to do it fast because we're running out of time.
Sorry. 50, 44, 40...
Some people can turn more than one page
nine.
At a time.
Look
at that picture. Does that look familiar?
Why, that in fact is a little snippet of a cover of one of our magazines.
That's right. Which cover was it?
That was the cover from immediately before Beyond Hope.
Well,
if I
just
remember.
Describe what's in the picture.
Oh, it's the shot of the escalator at 51st Street, the subway station, with the changed LED sign.
Yeah,
the
LED.
Who did that? Or?
No, we have no idea who did that, but we happened to be there with one of our photographers just as it happened, and we took a picture of it. Basically, it was a lot of people coming up the escalator with on the LED. Everyone thinks we manufactured this in Adobe or something like that, but no, it really was happening. It said Hacker Quarterly, volume whatever, number 3. Now, Forbes printed this. Except I don't think they realized that that's what it was a picture of. They thought it was just a picture of people walking up an escalator. What's the caption of that?
Misplaced praise. Last month, the Federal Reserve Board raised interest rates again and is hinting that more raises are in the offing.
Yeah, so obviously...
It has nothing to do with subways or hacking
with anything like that. But there, on page 39 of the current edition of Forbes, you'll see...
I'm more interested in the fact that they took this off the cover of your magazine.
Well, actually...
Is there a little copyright thing going on?
No, actually, it also was given to the Associated Press. The same picture was given to
then,
them just
fine.
Because it was a funny news event, and we thought they might find it funny, too. At the time, they didn't print it, but apparently they put it in their archives.
That's pretty silly.
And this might be popping up in all kinds of other places.
Collector's item.
Yeah, current Forbes. Hey, we got to go. Bernie, I understand you might be going down to D.C. as well. So,
I'm going to try.
Okay, hopefully we'll see you there.
Going down to D.C.?
Yeah, for the hearing on Thursday.
You're going down to D.C.?
Well, yeah, of course. I wouldn't miss that.
I come?
Yeah, maybe. We'll talk about it later. anyway, we'll be back again next week with a full report on that and all the other things that are going on. Until then, if you have anything to share with us, email us, oth@2600.com, or you can write to us here at the radio station, Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And until next week, for Isaac, for Bernie S., for Laszlo, it's Emmanuel Goldstein. Have a good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself off shaving, now I can't make a call. Couldn't get much worse, but if she could, they would. Told me we're bound for the best, best for worse. I hope that's understood. But did we know?
grant a new trial, abolish the death penalty will be the call Monday, February 28th, as activists stage a dramatic civil disobedience and legal support rally in front of the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. to demand a new trial for death row journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal. That's Monday, February 28th, 9 a.m. at the U.S. Supreme Court, First Street Northeast and East Capitol Street in Washington, D.C. Buses leave 3:45 a.m. Monday morning from the Martin Luther King Jr. Labor Center in Manhattan. You must reserve these seats in advance by calling 212-631-4577. To participate in the civil disobedience action, you must attend a mandatory training session Sunday. For location and time, call 212-330-8029.
Before anybody does this, we accidentally played something from last week. It already took place. But thanks anyway.